We are wrapping up our series, Radical Culture Shift, today. And I want to start by asking you a question. Who do you walk past? Not literally, necessarily. I mean, who's in your life, in your day, in your week that you have trained yourself not to notice? The guy at the intersection with the cardboard sign, the coworker nobody invites to lunch, the kid who never speaks, the neighbor everybody talks about behind her back but never actually talks to her. We all have someone. We've all got a category of person that we have learned to walk past without really seeing. And here's the thing about culture. Any culture, including the one following Jesus down the road that day. It trains you on who matters and who doesn't. In today's passage about two guys who don't matter by every measure that this crowd uses, and Jesus stops for them anyway, that's what a radical culture shift looks like. As they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed. And behold, there were two men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, son of David." And stopping, Jesus called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Said, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. I need to set the scene here because the context of what's going on matters. Jesus is on his way from Jericho up to Jerusalem. This is the last leg. In a matter of days, he's going to be arrested, tried, and crucified. He's already told his disciples this three times. He knows what's coming. He is walking towards his own execution. And he's not walking alone. Jericho is one of the stops in the pilgrim route to Jerusalem for Passover. So there's already this huge crowd of travelers on this road, and more people just keep joining as word spreads that Jesus is nearby. This is not a quiet moment. This is loud, packed, moving mass of people all headed in the same direction with their own agendas, their own excitement, and their own noise. And on the side of that road are two men who can't see any of it. Two blind beggars. And in that world, if you were blind, you had almost no way to provide for yourself. No job, no trade. You sat by the road and you asked for coins from people who were from people passing by. That's your whole existence. In the eyes of everyone walking past, you are background noise. You're furniture. You're not a person to be reckoned with. You're an obstacle to step around. And these two men hear the commotion. They ask what's going on. Someone tells them Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And they start shouting. And when they're shouting, they're not saying, "Excuse me." They're not being polite about it on whoever's closest. They are crying out. That's the word Matthew uses. The same word you use if someone was in pain or in fear. That scream. They're desperate. And they know they're desperate, and they don't care how it looks. "Lord, have mercy on us, son of David." And what does the crowd do? The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. Rebuked them, not just a shh. Rebuked these men like they'd done something wrong for just existing loudly. Crowd's whole posture is Shh. You are ruining the moment. You are an interruption. You're not important enough to interrupt what's happening here. So sit down, be quiet, and know your place. And if we're honest, that is probably a default posture for a lot of us. We build entire social systems around that posture. We decide, mostly without even thinking about it, who gets to take up space and who doesn't. Who's worth stopping for and who isn't. The polished, the pretty, the pulled together, the put together, the people who have already have influenced me, we make room for them without even trying. But the loud and the needy and the inconvenient person on the side of the road, sit down. You're embarrassing us. And what's wild to me is this crowd is following Jesus. These are presumably people who like Jesus, who want to be near him, who are excited about Jesus, and they completely miss what Jesus actually cares about. This tells me you can be physically close to Jesus and still be worlds away from his heart for people. That should sober us. Proximity to Jesus is not the same thing as sharing his compassion. And here's where the story gets real good. All right? But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." They don't shrink. In fact, if anything, the crowd's rebuke makes them yell louder. Why? Because they understand something the crowd doesn't. This is their one shot. Jesus is never coming back through Jericho. This is it. And when you know it's now or never, the opinions of people around you stop mattering nearly as much. And notice what they call him too. Son of David. It's not a throwaway phrase. That's a title with meaning. That's them saying, we know who you are. You're the promised one. You're the king the prophets talked about. Think, two blind beggars on the road have better spiritual eyesight than the crowd walking next to Jesus. They can't see his face, but they know exactly who he is. That's such an important reversal. And it happens over and over again in the Gospels. The people who look like they have it together, the religious, the respectable, the ones who belong, often miss Jesus completely. The people who are desperate enough to know why they need him, the ones with nothing to lose, they see him clearly. Need has a way of clarifying vision. And then we get to the center of the whole story. And stopping, Jesus called them. I want to pause right there for a second. Because think about what Jesus is carrying right now. He's days from the cross. He knows the weight of what's ahead. He's got a crowd of thousands of people around him, a group of disciples who don't understand what he keeps telling them, and a city ahead of him that is ready to condemn him to death. If anybody's got an excuse to keep walking and stay focused on a mission and not get distracted by two blind beggars on the side of the road, it's Jesus. But he stops anyway. That's the gospel in one motion. Jesus carrying the weight of the entire world's sin on his way to die for it, stops walking because two nobodies on the side of the road are calling out to him. His compassion isn't rationed. He's not saving it up for a convenient moment. It isn't something he only has room for if his schedule allows it. And then he asks them a question that might surprise you. Stopping, Jesus called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" How can I help you? I love Jesus' servant heart, but their need was obvious. They're blind. Everybody there knew what they wanted. So why did Jesus ask? Because Jesus, over and over in the Gospels, invites people to actually name what they need. Not because he doesn't already know, because there's something about naming it, saying it out loud, that matters. It's the difference between vague hope and a real request. And their answer, not complicated. Lord, let our eyes be opened. That's it. Not a speech, not a theological essay, a simple, specific, honest ask. And in pity, Jesus in pity touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. That word pity there is the same word used elsewhere for being moved in your gut, moved to your very core. This wasn't a distant miracle that he performed out of obligation. It was compassion. And Jesus physically felt the compassion before he even moved his hands. And immediately they see, and immediately they follow him towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. The first thing their new eyes get to see is their Savior walking to die for them. You got to hear me here. Jesus stops for two blind men in the crowd. The crowd tried to silence. And in doing that, he shows us that in his kingdom, his culture, the overlooked and the powerless are the ones who get his full attention. Not his leftover attention. Not if there's enough time attention. His full attention. That is the radical culture shift from how the world works. And honestly, it's a radical culture shift from how we often operate too, even within the church. The world's culture says stay focused on people who can do something for you. Notice the people who matter. Politely, quietly, and efficiently ignore everyone else. And if we're not careful, we bring that exact culture into our faith and slap a little bit of Jesus language on top of it. But this is a kingdom. This is a culture where a beggar on the side of the road gets stopped for. Where the interruption is the point. Where Lord have mercy on us is never, ever an inconvenient thing to hear. So what do we do with this? I've been working on this sermon for a bit, and this one struck me on a personal level. So I've decided I'm going to make a personal commitment. I'm going to take that prayer from the blind men. Lord, let our eyes be opened. I'm going to take that prayer and I'm actually going to pray it. And not as a spiritual metaphor, though there is that, but I'm going to pray it literally about the actual people that I walk past, that you walk past every single day. Because if Jesus stopped for two men, the crowd wanted to silence, then part of following him is learning to see the people we've been trained to walk past. I've got 10 prayers I'm going to pray this week. And I would like to ask you to pray them with me. I want you to do it so badly, we printed handouts for you. You can take all 10 home with you, and to be honest, so you don't have an excuse not to. But I'm asking you to pray with me the same way the blind men called out, Lord, let our eyes be opened. Phrase by phrase, I'm asking you to pray these 10 prayers with me and let each one land somewhere specific in your actual life. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the beauty in your creation that we miss every day. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the beauty in our family members. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the ways our coworkers do wonderful things. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the not so random acts of kindness that our neighbors perform. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the beauty in the members of our community who quietly work to address the needs of the people we fail to see. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the suffering of those around us. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the hungry children desperate for food. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the people who are denied health coverage and can't afford to see a doctor. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the victims of war who fear every airplane that flies overhead because it might carry the bomb that kills them. And Lord, let our eyes open our eyes to see the people you see, especially those others would rather us not see. Now, if I stopped right there and said, all right, have a good day, some of you would not be okay with that because you're already feeling the weight of that list. Immigrants, victims of war, people denied health care. This is the world's entire brokenness stacked up in 10 sentences. And if you're anything like me, your gut reaction is one of two things. When you hear that list, you either shut down and say, that's too much bad stuff. I don't want to think about it. Or you get guilty that you feel guilty that you can't fix all the things that we just named. Here's the good news. Jesus didn't heal every blind man in Israel that day. He didn't launch a campaign to eliminate blindness in the Roman Empire. He stopped for two men who were right in front of him on a road he was already walking on. And that's it. The scope of the miracle. Two guys, one road, one moment. You are not responsible for the world. You are responsible for what you see. And what you see on any given day is usually a pretty short list. People God have put on your road, your coworker, your neighbor, the person in the church lobby that's standing alone, the family member that you've quietly written off. I'm not asking you to develop a strategy to end global suffering. I'm asking you to have open eyes for the two blind men that are already in your path today. And don't underestimate what you can do. You stopping for one person, it doesn't change the world, but it changes their world. Completely. The same way that it completely changed the world of two men who woke up blind that morning and went to bed able to see. And here's the part of this story I can't get past. It's the part that actually hits the hardest, and I alluded to it earlier, but Jesus is stopping for these men not on an easy day. He's not between obligations with nothing else to do. He is days, maybe hours, from being arrested, mocked, beaten, and nailed to a cross. He knows it's coming. He's told his disciples three times already. He is walking to his own execution, and he stops. We say that we are too busy. Jesus is walking towards his own death. We say that we're too tired. Jesus is about to be flogged and crucified. We say that we are too overwhelmed by our own stuff to notice that someone else is in need. Jesus is carrying the sin of the entire world on his shoulders, and he still stops and turns around. I don't say all that to pile guilt on you. That's not the point. I say it because I'm trying to strip away every excuse we normally reach for. If Jesus, under that kind of weight, still had the room to stop, maybe our excuse of "I've got too much going on" doesn't exactly hold water. And that's the heart of it. Jesus blesses these men while he's suffering, not when his suffering is over. Not once things calm down for him, in the middle of it, on the way to the cross. And I know that some of you are in the midst of a really hard season of life. Genuinely hard. Grief over the death of a loved one, sickness, a marriage that's struggling, a job that's crushing you, a diagnosis that you didn't see coming. And I want to be careful here because I'm not telling you to ignore your own pain and pretend you are fine so that you can go help somebody else. That's not what Jesus is doing here. He never stops being aware of what's happening to him, what's ahead of him, but he doesn't let his suffering close his eyes to the suffering of people around him. Those two things, suffering of others and your suffering, can exist at the same time. They exist at the same time in this passage. He is grieving what is coming, and he's still present to the men standing in front of him, both, not one canceling the other out. And that might be the most freeing thing about this whole text. You don't have to wait until you've got your life together to be someone who notices other people. You don't have to have it all together to stop for the person on the side of the road. Some of the most powerful blessings you will offer anyone else will come in a season where you yourself are hurting, because you'll understand in a way you couldn't otherwise. You'll understand exactly what it costs to stop. So here we are. Last week of radical culture shift. We've spent the last few weeks looking at what it actually means to live differently than the culture around us. Not a slightly nicer version of the same values. Not the world's playbook with a little Jesus flavor sprinkled on top. But an actual different way of seeing people, of treating people, of valuing people. And I can't think of a better place to finish, to land this series, than two blind beggars on the side of the road that the crowd wanted to silence. Because if this series has been about anything, it's this: the kingdom of God doesn't run on the world's operating system. The world says, notice who matters and ignore who doesn't. God's kingdom culture says, stop for the ones no one else will. The world says, handle your own business first. The kingdom says, Jesus, on his way to the cross, he still had time for two men crying out on the side of the road. It's the whole series in one story. Everything we've talked about these past few weeks all comes down to whether we actually live in the culture that God has called us to, or whether we're going to keep walking with the crowd because it's easier. as we close, as you leave, I don't want to just leave you with 10 prayers to pray, although I'm seriously asking you to join me. But I want to leave you with a question, one question. It's really all this series has been asking. What culture are you actually living by? What culture are you actually living by? Somebody in your life this week is going to cry out. Maybe not literally. Maybe it'll be a look. Maybe it's their silence. Maybe it's an empty chair and a or a person nobody stops for. And there will be a crowd around you, whether real or in your head, there will be a crowd around you telling you to keep walking, that it's not your problem, that it's not convenient right now. And I want you to remember Jesus. Days from the cross, carried the weight of the world, stopping anyway. So when you see that person crying out for help, in whatever way they do it, ask, what can I do for you? Ask them, what do you want me to do? And don't just walk past. The series ends today, but the shift is supposed to work in you. That doesn't end. That's the radical culture shift I want you to take from this room. And so to close, I'm going to pray those 10 prayers. The 10 prayers that I am asking you to pray with me this week. So please bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the beauty in your creation that we miss every day. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the beauty in our family members. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the ways our coworkers do wonderful things. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the not so random acts of kindness that our neighbors perform. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the beauty in the members of our community who quietly work to address the needs of the people we fail to see. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the suffering of those around us. Let our eyes be open to see the hungry children desperate for food. Let our eyes be open to see the people who are denied health coverage and can't afford to see a doctor. Lord, let our eyes be open to see the victims of war who fear every airplane that flies overhead because it might carry the bomb that kills them. And Lord, let our eyes be open to see the people you see, especially those others would rather we not see. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.